obsessed with all things ovine, there is seriously something about sheep and always something new to learn about keeping, breeding and farming them. Welcome to the Sheep Show podcast. I'm Jill Noble from Holston Valley Farm and Sheep Stud and your host. The Sheep Show podcast exists to help you, no matter where you are in the world, what sheep you breed, what size your flock is. This podcast will help your sheep knowledge and your shepherding confidence grow. And it's a two-way street. I love to hear from you and find out how your sheep journey is going. Contact me via Instagram at Holston Valley Farm or via email jill@holstonvalleyfarm.com.au. Come along on this episode as we explore the amazing world of sheep and sheep farming together. It's always such a good question, isn't it, when you get asked, how often do you trim your sheep's feet? And I got asked this recently, and it actually made me think of a couple of things. But first of all, it made me think of my horses and how my farrier did comment that one of my horses literally had the best feet he'd ever seen. And my farrier needs to come to my horses about once every year, which is quite amazing, I think, you know, when you compare that to a lot of other horses. And it just got me thinking between someone asking me the question about my sheep and got me thinking about feet. And just, I suppose, I know we talk about feet and what to do about them a lot, but this is really more about, I suppose, prevention, you know, and what are the problems really when it relates to feet. So if we just look at the sort of the issues and then look at what can we do to prevent it. So when we have any sort of lameness at all in our sheep, really, it can be very serious and it can be a contagious issue and it can have major consequences. So obviously bear that in mind. That is in certain situations, depending on the type of bacteria, particularly we're talking here about foot rot. But you know, putting that aside for the moment, it's not pleasant to see your sheep limping and it's not really good for animal welfare. And, you know, they're often in pain. And what that really means is that there is decreased productivity. So they're not happy and they're not healthy, basically, when we think about feet and or feet problems. So, you know, it's just about thinking about, okay, well, how unhappy are they and how unhealthy are they? And do I need to actually intervene? And sometimes you do need to intervene very, very quickly. Sometimes it's just a tiny little something or other that you need to do. And prevention, of course, is always, always, always better than cure. So I suppose I just wanted to really focus on that. What can we do to sort of prevent the issues from happening in the first place? And really, I mean, there's some key things, you know, like, you know, it could be something like basic things like how, when you're transporting them, how clean are your trailers and that sort of thing? And are you having, you know, other sheep in your trailers? You know, just those sorts of things. And we're quite fastidious with cleaning trailers after any sheep movement. So just like that, any sort of overcrowding, whether it's in a trailer, whether it's in a yard, whether it's on a laneway, whether it's in a paddock, all these sorts of overcrowding things, they make it worse. So it's a huge preventative measure when you do rotational grazing and when you clean paddocks, yards, spell areas, whatever it might be. So it sounds so basic, doesn't it? But really, we want to sort of think about those sorts of things. Generally, if it's really bad feet issues, then it's a bacterial thing. And of course, there's a variety of bacteria that it could actually be, and they do need to be determined via a microscope. So they can't just be tested from looking or smelling the hoof. And where does bacteria live? Well, no surprise, warm and wet locations. So a huge area of prevention is, well, thinking of, again, the dirty environments, the overcrowding, anywhere which could be a breeding ground for any bacteria in the hoofs. So this can be, again, thinking of wanting and keeping as much as we possibly can, given that these are outdoor animals most of the time. Are your hooves clean, trimmed? Do they have an ability to perhaps, you know, empty out their hooves? And is there an opportunity for perhaps them to go on dry ground from time to time? Now, again, prevention is really better than cure. And one of the areas of preventative measures is to do hoof trimming. Now, how often should you trim your hooves? Well, a lot of my sheep, if not all of my sheep, I would look at their hooves, yeah, for sure, and, you know, see how they're going, and then make a determination. But really, we're talking about once every couple of years, 5 or so years. Most of the time, my sheep's hooves, just don't get touched at all. In fact, we sold some rams today, and we just decided, oh yeah, well, let's just trim his hoof up, just check his hooves before he goes. And he had really hard hooves. It was quite hard. And I had never even turned him over, never mind looked at his hooves. But, you know, I think let's let nature do its job here. And at the same time, let's ensure that nature, that natural environment is wet and warm. Let's make sure we intervene. And I think that's really a lot of the lesson here. Other things to think about here would be just really avoiding those infected pastures. So again, spelling pastures, rotational grazing, dry locations, anywhere where your animals are going to be in high numbers for a long period of time. So again, it sounds so basic, but trailers, laneways, yards in particular, any troughs, any high traffic areas. So troughs would be a classic area that really, if there's any one thing you can do to improve the health of your sheep's hooves, that would be making sure that the areas around watering or feeding sites don't become damp and muddy. So what can you do about this apart from perhaps doing a lovely concrete slab around every single water trough? Yeah, not actually realistic for most of us. That would be keeping the area grassed, so not overgrazing. So there's lots of, I suppose, frequent visiting to the water troughs or the feeding area and constant trampling. So that would be one area. What we actually just use is just a little bit of rubble, gravel, old pieces of brick or concrete or whatever. I think it kind of has to be safe and all that, but ultimately, does it dry? Now, obviously, different watering areas are going to be more prone to wet. Like if it's low-lying area, it's going to be more prone to wet areas. Have they got a place in that low-lying paddock that they can get up out of? So even if you do have a wet paddock, can you fence off an area where there's a bit of shelter and a bit of respite, I suppose, for those hooves that really can be impacted? And then those high traffic areas, particularly feeding troughs, water troughs, can you put down some sort of rubble, gravel, or if you can't do that, can you move it? Even moving feeders was a great idea. And then if you can't do that, can you move the sheep out of the paddock so that they get a bit of respite as well? Again, overcrowding, you know, going back to thinking about how many animals can I have on my property. Great podcast if you haven't listened to that one yet, but really rough rule of thumb is 2 square meters per animal. And again, that reduces the contact between hooves. And of course, more hooves, more dirt, more bacteria, more spread. You can see what can happen here. So we're really wanting to sort of look at prevention rather than cure. If you're introducing animals from an unknown location, then you can think about some sort of quarantine. Have you bought animals from this property before? Do you know what's going on? So particularly here, where you would want to be exceptionally vigilant would be where you do not know the origin of those particular animals. So if you bought them from someone you don't know, or you haven't bought animals from before, you don't have a relationship with, you haven't been to their farm, you don't know what the conditions are like, maybe it's a sale yard, maybe it's just some random, you know, for sale sign that you see somewhere. Those environments, those animals coming from those unknown places, those would be ones to quarantine. Now, what I do is I generally run them in a laneway, keep them in a laneway where there's a bit of gravel, it's dry, but also in that laneway, I can then bring in my horses, going back to my lovely horses, to sanitize that area. Obviously, when you're bringing in new animals, you're thinking of drenching as well as looking after the feet. But particularly here, we're talking about feet. So if there's any bacteria, the drier, the better will be for those particular hooves to dry out. Of course, when the hooves are nice and dry, what do you know? Bacteria doesn't have a breeding ground. So again, prevention rather than cure. Listen, other things that can really help would be, again, looking at weather conditions. So it's so, so important for us to be monitoring the weather. Hot, wet days, again, really promotes bacterial growth, which can really mean that our hooves are very susceptible. Prolonged periods in wet conditions, those sorts of things. So watching the weather, thinking about where your animals are, thinking about what's happening, thinking about the paddocks that you could possibly move them to. So really monitoring those sorts of things. And I just looked at the weather recently and I thought, oh, look, there's 40 mils of rain due. Maybe I need to move the rams out of where they actually are today so that when that 40 mils comes, I'm giving them the best chance for them to sort of be. And again, this particularly this time of the year, I'm wanting them to get a bit more VIP treatment because, well, you know, their time is coming to shine soon and I want them to be at their best. So, you know, thinking that they're going to be producing goods before joining, the better we manage them now. So I'm like 3 months out from joining. But the better we manage them now, the better they're going to be in terms of their more fit, healthy, virile swimmers to do the job. So really monitoring the weather. And I know it sounds, again, so sort of basic, but that's going to make a huge difference. And then, of course, our old friend nutrition, particularly for their overall health and foot development, zinc intake is crucial. In fact, even in utero, zinc intake is crucial. So maybe are you using an injectable micro mineral, or are you supplementing with seaweed, which will have zinc in there? Thinking about that. And of course, particularly for rams, zinc is crucial, again, for those swimmers. So again, zinc all around nutritional elements, but brilliant for foot and hoof health. And overall growth of, again, the swimmers and, of course, in those early stages of conception as well. And then the last area that I think a lot of us, again, overlook is the genetics. Now, I know if you remember, I think we had a chat with John from Lincoln University and the brilliant team over there, Lincoln University in New Zealand. They actually have a remarkable blood test that you can actually get done to test your animals. Generally, you do it on your rams because they're the biggest influence on your flock for foot rot resistance. So healthy feet, basically. And you can actually both get breeds that are very good and strong in terms of foot rot resistance. And you can actually test even within those breeds. Really simple, just a little blood swab on a piece of paper. Off it goes to New Zealand and they come back and they tell you what the rating actually is. I think it's an A, B or a C, A being the top rating that we're aiming for. And that really helps heritability. We know, or we believe, that the foot health is a low to moderate heritability. So I wouldn't be just using this as a guideline. However, you know, why not? If we can actually do something here that would help in our prevention strategy, then why not incorporate this into the mix as well? The science is there for us to use, particularly if we're wanting to either purchase rams, purchase animals, if we're wanting to, again, breed our own animals or have the best environment for our animals, go for it. Really think about how can you use that genetic testing as well. So things to avoid, again, to help with prevention: overcrowding, unsanitary environments, anything that would cause that hot and wet and dirty. Thinking of the weather, really being aware of what the weather is doing and what might happen as a result of the weather in your environment. Giving your hooves a little once over. Again, I'm a firm believer that, you know, the less interference we can actually have, the better, but creating the right environment is really what we need to do. So that would be creating an environment where there's a bit of friction on those hooves, for example, your laneways and gravel or your rubble or your rock. Anything like that is going to effectively provide nature's own pedicure, which of course will really help with your hooves. And then listen, if there are issues, if you do see problems, then intervene. You know, check them out, have a look. Sometimes all we need is just a little bit of spray to dry those animals' hooves up. Two things, if you haven't listened to my best treatment concepts, I think I mentioned pink eye spray. If you're really wanting to get some antibiotics on those hooves, it's rather expensive, but it can really be quite effective. So pink eye spray, thank you, Tash, from Black Pond, Hampshire Downs, for that great tip. And then Cetrogen is the other one that I would use, and it just dries out anything. And it's a really multi-purpose spray, but great on hooves and very inexpensive. So very easy to use and very easy to get hold of. And I'm sure wherever you might be in the country or in the world, there was an equivalent to that sort of spray that will help. So Cetrogen. Cetrigen, if you're not familiar with that as well. So there you go. Just a few little things to think about there. Again, prevention, always better than cure. Seems to be my mantra here on the Sheep Show podcast. So what can we do as breeders, as livestock owners, to be able to create the right environment for our sheep so that they have the best possible, healthy, happy lives with us? And you know, who else wins? They're happy and healthy, and that's really good. Really, that's the most important thing. But hey, who wants to be trimming feet? I mean, I actually don't mind it as it goes, but my back doesn't like it, I can tell you that much. And my calendar doesn't like it. It's very time consuming. So, you know, I've got to feel a good sense of achievement afterwards, but really it's time consuming. And it's physically quite difficult as well. So anything we can do to prevent it, then surely that's going to be better for everyone all around. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sheep Show podcast. Got a burning sheep question or comment that you'd like to share, or story, or even a tip that would be good for other Sheep Show podcast listeners to know about? Get in touch via Instagram at Holston Valley Farm or email jill@holstonvalleyfarm.com.au. And until next time, sheep well.